Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. The last time I was here was in 1995, I think. So it's, 22 years ago since I was here as the associate pastor for 5 years under Pat Godwin. I left my job. God called me here for a time. And so I was here as the associate pastor for nearly 5 years, and I met a lot of people that are still here in this church, and Keith was one of the young men, and I believe God has raised him up and called him for such a time as this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we make a decision to be glad and to rejoice in it today. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the word of God that is rich, powerful, and stronger than any two-edged sword. That today you'll touch hearts, that you'll touch lives, and that you'll help people to make a new beginning in their lives in Jesus' name. And as we speak about the word this morning, I pray that you'd use me to speak life into people's lives in Jesus' name. So we thank you for that. And everybody said loudly, amen, amen. I like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've prepared a word that is probably closest to my heart. One of the callings upon my life is to awaken the church to an awareness and a knowledge of what it really means to worship in spirit and in truth. There is so much ignorance in the church concerning especially worship. And I believe that after yours and my salvation, together with the baptism and the Holy Spirit, worship is the next most important area in our Christian lives. The heart cry of the Father is that the church will move into a dimension of true worship. Move into a dimension of prayer, of praise, of thanksgiving, and of worship. This is really what pleases the Lord's heart. And Scripture is quite clear, and I'm going to read that to you now. Scripture is clear that the Father is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And of course, when one looks at that word, those, it's a particular people. It's a peculiar people. He's looking for worshipers. He's not looking for a once-a-week act of worship by you and by me or whenever we feel like it. He's looking for those people whose daily lifestyle is worship. Worship. I want to read to you from John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24 from the New King James Version. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It says here, but the Father is seeking for true worshipers. So if He's speaking about true worshipers, then there must be false worshipers as well. So God's looking for the true worshipers. And then He's speaking about such. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. It is such an important word because it's referring to you and to me. The Father is seeking such. He's seeking true worshipers. The word those is identifying a type of people who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And when one looks at the scripture, when one looks at that word in that scripture, it says He's seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The word spirit there is a small s. So He's telling us that those that worship Him must worship Him with their spirit in the Spirit of God. You understand that? He's looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, with your spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what He's looking for. I want us to look quickly, well, I'm going to read that to you from the Amplified Bible if you don't have one. Listen, this is what it says. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we Christians are the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. Just so far. We worship Him in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God. You understand that? So, it has been said that there are four necessities in life. Number one is air. Number two is water. Number three is food. Number four is sleep. And if we don't have these, we die. But God has given you and me this one basic necessity to sustain our spiritual lives. You know what it is? It's worship. If you want to sustain your spiritual life, then you need to become a worshiper, one who worships the Father in spirit and truth. Tom Ingalls, the president of Somebody International and a good friend of mine, made this prophetic statement. This is what he said. Worship will become one of the most important issues in the end time church. And then he went on further to say this. Those churches, listen, who relegate their worship services to a 20-minute warm-up session before the real service begins will collapse, because their leadership have prioritized themselves and their own presence in the pulpit more than the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, worship is the last activity that we should minimize in the church or in our own personal lives. Our Sunday services will not move into the dimension of corporate worship until we first worship Him as part of our own personal lives, until we first worship Him in a constant and private and individual lifestyle. So that means that it all starts with you and with me. Amen? That's where it starts. It begins there. Worship begins with you and me. It doesn't begin with the worship team. It begins with you and me before we get to church. God's looking for those kind of worshipers. Because when you come to the church, you bring your worship spirit with you and together with the worship team and the church. That's when we're going to experience the manifest presence of God in our services. We will experience the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit to change circumstances and situations. Amen? God is still in the changing business. He changes lives. He's seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. The two greatest musts in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 7. You must be born again. John chapter 4, verse 24. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the consequences of disobeying the first must will be devastating, because it will affect you and me eternally. You must be born again. If you're not born again, it's going to affect where you spend your eternity. The consequences of disobeying the second must will rob you and me of an everlasting intimacy with the true living God. Now, I don't know about you. I want to have a true, living, personal relationship with Him. Wouldn't you want that for yourself? That's what I want for me. And it comes about when we can worship Him with a freeness and an abandonment in our spirits, by our spirits worshiping Him in the Holy Spirit. There's power there. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. you and I will be worshiping God for an eternity. Did you know that? We will be worshiping, I'm going to read you some scriptures just now, but we'll be worshiping Him for an eternity. The aim of the worship team is only just to create a platform for you and me to begin to enter in to worship with Him. One of the callings upon my life is to create a better understanding and an awakening to the fivefold ministry, to the body of Christ, and to the worship teams in the church, and to you, the individual, to the fact that God is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm a retired minister. I've retired from the church, but I haven't retired. I've refired. I'm rewired to preach the uncompromised truth to the church concerning praise and particularly worship. Amen. As a young man, I was a chemist by profession. I was a professional musician by night. I used to play in the nightclubs as a musician. God touched my life and brought me into the church. And I was the music director of this church as well, plus a couple of other churches. So God is using this talent of mine to say to the church that there is a way where you can experience the manifest presence of God in your own personal lives and in the life of the church. Isn't that what you'd want? To God to manifest Himself here in your church service, to touch lives, to see the healings to take place? It happens when we begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I read an SMS just recently where someone wrote a message to God on Facebook. This is what he said. Dear Father God, teach me true worship. Help me to live by this all the days of my life. And that's what inspired this message that I'm speaking to you this morning. He's seeking that God will just show him and help him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a hunger and a thirst and a heart cry for the truth to be shared concerning worship in spirit and in truth. And the church generally, worldwide, is being spoon-fed with worship by the music ministry. It's a wrong concept, and it's got to be changed, and God's using me and many other men like me and women like me to make a change, to open up people's hearts about the truth of worship. When you and I go to church, really what should be happening is that we should take our worship-filled hearts with us to the church service. That's what should be happening. And then we'll see a multiplicity of corporate worship in the church. And then we'll see God come in, manifest Himself, touch hearts and lives, and make a difference. Isn't that what you want? Not just coming to church to sit and listen and fall asleep. We want to see the power of God manifest here. Amen. The Old Testament saints worshiped God from a distance because no one had a personal access to God except through the high priest. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all, listen, was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. You see, the Old Testament saints had no real concept of intimacy with God. until Jesus came. He made the way for you and me. He opened the way for you and me to come into the presence of God. We don't need a high priest. We have a high priest. His name is Jesus. He's made the way for you and me to come into his presence. The Old Testament saints didn't have that. I want to take you to a place where Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. They were at the well, and he was speaking to this woman. I want to read to you from John chapter 4 and verse 19 to 21. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." It has been said that the meeting that Jesus had with this woman was the longest conversation that Jesus had with anyone that has been recorded in Scripture. So there must have been some value, some importance in that discussion. Amen? It was valuable. And the conversation was very important because it centered around salvation using the subject of worship. This woman knew that when she spoke to Jesus, she was speaking to a prophet, because Jesus told her about her own personal life. You remember that? Then she brought up the subject of worship. And if you read the whole conversation, she also said that the Samaritan fathers worshipped on Mount Gerizim, but that she had heard, she said to Jesus, that the Jews were saying that Jerusalem was the place where worship ought to be done. So it seemed that what bothered the woman the most in this conversation was the place of worship. She spoke about Mount Gerizim, and the woman in the worship, the woman he spoke to, spoke about Jerusalem was the place where they worshiped. But Jesus stated that worship was no longer restricted to the temple only, but that the focus of worship was a person. Amen. You don't have to go to church to worship. You can worship him, because if he is your Lord and Savior, you can worship him in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your car. You can worship him. He's made a way where there was no way before. Worship can be practiced and done anywhere. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the church where you can worship him. Just you and him. You can worship him. I don't know about you, but I love to meet with Jesus in my personal private time. Because he speaks to you. He changes circumstances and situations. And you know what? He's alive. You know why I know that? I spoke to him this morning. He's alive. Hallelujah. I want to give you a classic example of what should be happening in our services. It's an example that's taken from the Old Testament during worship in the temple at that time. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 in the New King James Version. It says, "Indeed it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.'" Listen, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. All I can say about that is, wow, filled the place. Thank you, brother. When we begin to worship Him, God manifests Himself and comes into the worship service to change hearts and to change lives. I don't know about you, wouldn't you like to see the manifest presence of God? Manifestation. The most commonly used word for worship is proskuneo. It's formed from the prefix pros, which means in front of someone, and the verb kuneo, which means to kiss. So we move forward when we worship to kiss. That's how intimate our worship is with Jesus. It's intimacy. So the New Testament concept of worship involves movement by you and me to draw close to Him and to be intimate. I want to say this, praise and worship are different in many respects. Praise has an energetic quality to it. We clap our hands and we sing and we dance and the music's loud and the music is fast. Worship is different. Worship is quiet. And we raise our hands and we sing to Him and we close our eyes. Worship is so much like the intimacy between a husband and a wife. It's quiet. It's private. It's just you and Him. Worship is different to praise. It's different. When we worship Him, it's access. It's a face-to-face meeting with the true living God. In the Old Testament, God revealed the intimacy He really longed for. And he longs for you and me to come into His presence and to worship Him. That's why the Bible says He's seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And King David knew that God had a purpose for his life, and the only way it could be fulfilled was to keep God before his face, day and night. And that's the only way that you and I will fulfill God's purpose for our lives, is to come into his presence. Psalm 16 and verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I want to say something very interesting. We become what we worship. Let me say that again. We become what we worship. Listen to this. Psalm 115, verse 4 to verse 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Listen, those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. The object that we worship transforms us. Those people who worship idols and Buddhas become like them. Those who worship Almighty God become like Him. I don't know about you, but my decision, I want to be like Him. Amen? I want to be like Him. Those who worship God become like God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. True worship transforms. True worship changes churches, changes nations, and it will transform you. God desires for you and me, brothers and sisters, to come to have a face-to-face worship time with Him. Nothing else will satisfy the heart of Father God. He seeks worship from you and me. God moved towards us first because He is love. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave. And worship is our reaction towards God because of His act of love towards us. You understand that? So when we get to heaven, we'll be worshiping God for an eternity. So we better get used to it now. Listen, this is what's happening in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them with 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Wow. Imagine. Imagine the noise. Imagine people worshiping God, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him who lives forever and ever. This is the statement you need to take cognizance of. You need to, if you have some paper or pen, you need to write this down. Worship is a movement on our behalf towards God with the intention of intimacy. Let me say that again. Worship is a movement on our behalf towards God with the intention of intimacy. So God's waiting for you and me. He's waiting for you and me. The first move must come from you and me. You know why? Because the veil's been removed. Now the invitation for you and me is face to face. Worship with Him every day, not just on Sundays. You know, this morning we sang, "I live to worship You." That should be our lives. We live to worship Him. So don't just sing the words. Mean what you sing. You live to worship Him. So I'm here to give you what God is really seeking from you and me, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I wrote this down. Listen, the Father is the audience. Jesus is the song. The Holy Spirit is the conductor. The believer, that's you, are the instrument. Isn't that wonderful? Most of you, I must tell you now, some of my old friends here, know that what I do every morning, I wake up at 4:30 in the mornings, every morning. I go upstairs to my little loft, I take my guitar with me, and I begin to sing to Him. I begin to worship Him, just Him and me. For me, it's the most precious time of my life. And I believe that because of me making that decision, that I can say today to you, ladies and gentlemen, that He renews my youth like the eagles. I'm 80 years old. But I don't want to be an old man. He renews my youth like the eagles. There's power when it comes to worship. When you touch the Almighty Living God, He touches you with an inspiration. He touches you with new things. Amen. I want to be rewired and refired to do greater things for the Lord. I want to encourage you to find a place. You. Find a place wherever you are, wherever you stay. If you don't have a little loft like I do, find a place. If it's in your car in the mornings driving to work, find a place. Amen. Find a place. Doesn't have to be at 4:30 in the morning. I'm retired. You're not. Amen. Find a place. Spend time with Him. Start by doing 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. But find a place. Begin to build it up to an hour a day till you can spend time with Him in His presence. You know what? I spend time with Him, even coming here, driving here, speaking to Him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Become a worshiper. That's what it says. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, God doesn't hear the tone of your voice. You might just say to me, Apostle Ted, you know, I can't sing. But that scripture there is wonderful. Psalms and hymns making melody in your heart to the Lord. So sing to Him. Sing to Him. I want to end now by giving you a word that God has given me personally. Psalm 71 and verse 18. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. And God, I believe, has kept me alive to declare the strength of worship to the generations. To the generations. And I'm going to be doing that until the day I go to be with Him. That's the call upon my life. Last year, God opened doors for me to speak to 7 churches to declare this word on concerning worship, in March this year, I was invited to speak at a Bible college also in Krugersdorp, and they asked me to come and speak. The subject was worship, and I've been invited to go to Botswana to speak on worship. So there's a hunger and a thirst in the lives of people and churches on worship. Listen to me. Worship will transform the church. It will transform you. And so I speak into the lives. I've spoken to the Rhema worship team on 4 separate occasions, speaking on worship. On worship. Worship will cause this church, Pastor Keith, to multiply. Multiply. People will come seeking what you have that they do not have. When we seek Almighty God, the living God, through worship, there's power. There's power. And I enjoyed the praise and worship. Josh, I enjoyed the praise and worship. It was wonderful. Just keep it up, my boy. Otherwise, I'll be knocking on your door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if He can use Moses at 80 and Abraham at 90, He can use me. Amen. Amen. There might be snow on the mountain, but there's fire in the valley. Hallelujah. This is an important statement, the last statement I'm going to make. Worship is the principal event in heaven. Let me say it again. Worship is the principal event in heaven. So we better get used to doing it here on earth to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. 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 I want to read you a word that I have for you and your church, Pastor Keith. give ear to my word, for it has been stored up for you, precept upon precept, line upon line. It is a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. God is saying to you, do not let your heart be troubled by those challenges that continually face you. For as you stand here today in my presence, and as you place your trust and your confidence in me, you and Cheryl, I will strengthen you, I will guide you and make the crooked places straight. For I am the restorer of my people. I will wipe away every tear from your face, and people will say on that day, behold their God, look what he has done. Know this, that as you begin to prepare the way for me, it is then that my glory shall be revealed in your midst, and my presence will be manifest among you, and all flesh shall see it. For I, the Lord your God, will hold you in the palm of my right hand, and I will look and hold you, and you will look to the right and look to the left, but no harm shall befall you nor your family. For many will see and know that the hand of the Lord has done this. As you begin to bring glory and honor to my name, the Lord says, in the midst of your situation, I will lead you by a new way, along a path you have not known. I will light up the dark places, God says, for my word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And you will rejoice as you come through to the other side. It is I who will draw the lost from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And your sons and your daughters will do a new thing, for it shall surely spring forth. Know also that you are a people I have formed for myself, and no one will deliver you out of my hand. Listen, for there is victory stored up for you, and there is hope in your future, says the Lord. This is not the time to stand back. It is not the time to look away. Look up and see that which is stored for you. So go, you and Cheryl, and take your place. And go establish the word of God. Amen. 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 I would like at this stage to pray for the music ministry team. If you'd come and stand in the front, please. And that man that has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, will you come and stand here? And your wife. Hold hands. Hold hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, what's your name? Greg. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this man as I lay my hands upon him. I break the curse of cancer over his life in Jesus' name. Loose him and let him go. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your healing power, for your healing virtue, in the name of Jesus, that you heal this man to the extent that he'll come back rejoicing, saying, look what the Lord has done. We thank you that as we stand together in agreement, and thank you for power, and thank you for strength, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that he'll come back with a word of rejoicing in you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's such an anointing. In such an anointing. In such an anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As I come to the members of the band, raise your hands. As I come to you, raise your hands. Raise your hands, my darling. You're speaking to the King of Kings. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you've called her for such a time as this. Put your hand on your tummy. Put your hand on your tummy. That out of the belly will flow rivers of living water of life as she sings and she ministers to you. In Jesus' name, I loose that anointing in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you used this young lady as she ministers to you through the medium of music, that you'll raise up to be a strong testimony for you in Jesus' name. I loose the power and I loose the anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you that you use her as a strong testimony in Jesus' name, that she'll go from glory to glory, from dimension to greater dimension in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this young man, Lord, that you've raised up for such a time as this in the name of Jesus, that you'd use him to do even greater things, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as he sings and as he ministers, Lord, even people in the congregation will be healed in Jesus' name, that you'll touch their lives. So, Father, I release your anointing upon these hands in Jesus' name, upon these lips in the name of Jesus, that you'd cause him, Lord, that out of his belly will flow the rivers of living waters as he composes music, as he composes songs that will bring honor and praise and glory and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in Jesus' name. I thank you. I loose that now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that you're raising up young men. Raise your hands, my young man. Thank you that you use this young man, Lord, in his capacity in Jesus' name to do great things for you, Lord. And those things that he's been desiring for, that which he's been asking and speaking about, Lord, I thank you that you give that to him in Jesus' name. There have been some questions. Thank you, Father, that the answers are forthcoming now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for this young lady, Lord, that as she begins to sing and as she begins to minister, there will be signs and wonders and miracles that you use her not only in the church, but that you use her in other circumstances and situations in Jesus' name. That as she sings melody, the songs, the words will touch people's hearts and touch people's lives and make a difference in Jesus' name. I loose the power. I loose the anointing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your tummy. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, let it flow from her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you. Bless you, Shirley. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I loose the power of God upon this young lady. She tells me that I prophesied over her many years ago, which I don't remember, and I'm going to ask her just now to tell you about it in Jesus' name. Father, I loose the power of God over her to do greater things for you in Jesus' name. Anoint these fingers, anoint these hands in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, except you. 1 minute.
Many years ago when David and I took over the church in Randfontein, basically, there wasn't a worship team. And it was just a couple of weeks after that Pastor Ted came there and ministered. And I was the only one playing the organ that night. And I was the only person in the worship team. And he actually prayed for me that night. And he actually took his jacket off. And he put it over me. And he said, as I put my jacket over you tonight, I'm passing on the mantle of worship to you. Our church actually eventually led the entire Randfontein on various occasions. Our worship team led the entire Randfontein in worship.